Welcome, welcome everyone. My name is Sean, and today we got to talk about this situation out of New York City where an NYPD officer was killed during what appeared to be a routine quality of life traffic stop by career criminals who were actually likely engaging or about to engage in an armed robbery. Now, we're going to get into the details. We're going to go into the history. But before we do that, I want to thank everybody who signed up over at naturaljusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money, okay?
And remind you that on Saturday, April 27th in Austin, Texas, I will be at the Mines Fest. Link to tickets in the description of this video.
Police officer was shot during a traffic stop in Queens and later died from his injuries.
The shooter is now in custody.
So the victim of today's story is 31-year-old Officer Jonathan Diller. Officer Jonathan Diller spent 3 years on the NYPD. He effectuated over 70 arrests, according to the local news media, and he was recently a father of a 1-year-old child. He was married as well. He is a resident of Long Island. And actually, the real way that I found out about this story is when I was driving back from Long Island the other day, I saw the long procession of officers meant to honor this man as they brought him back, presumably to the cemetery where his family was going to bury him. So of course, after seeing all this, I had to find out what was going on in the situation. And like I said in the open, he was engaged in a routine quality of life traffic stop. There was a vehicle that was idling in a bus stop for about 10 minutes.
Police say shortly before 6 p.m. yesterday, Diller and his partner, who were working with the NYPD's community response team, approached a car parked in a bus stop illegally on Mott Avenue in Far Rockaway. The passenger, police say, had a gun.
As the evidence tends to reveal, it looked like what was about to happen was an armed robbery, possibly of a T-Mobile store that these two individuals were casing. Now, what's insane about this to me is that we're in New York City, so why would you even bother bringing guns in order to stick up a T-Mobile shop when you could just walk in, grab all the merchandise off the shelf, walk out, and even if you get arrested, you're guaranteed a same-day automatic release. And by the way, this is something that the criminals in this particular situation would not be unfamiliar. Both have extensive rap sheets. One was out on parole, a $70,000 bond, so they did get bail. But remember, the issue with bail reform is not actually this category right here, what is and isn't eligible for financial bail, because even if you set a bail, you have to make sure you set them with a bunch of options where people can afford to pay it. It's this category right here where people are not able to be held based on their assessment of dangerousness, because unlike 49 other states and the District of Columbia, New York State cannot let judges do that. It's the most sensible thing. Every other state does it, but not in New York. And in combination with bail reform, that results in the release and re-release of repeat offenders. I believe the driver in this scenario had something like 16 arrests, including a firearms charge, assault, and whatnot. And the killer in this particular situation, that criminal actually had 21 arrests. So he upped him up by 5. What a great guy. And of course, he decided that he wasn't going to be taken. So he shot an officer upon exiting the vehicle. And unfortunately, the bullet actually struck the officer below his bulletproof vest, according to the current reporting.
He was given a lawful order numerous times to step out of the car. He refused. And when the officer took him out of the car, instead of stepping out of the car, he shot our officer.
Police say Diller was hit underneath his bulletproof vest. His partner returned fire and hit the gunman. Mortally wounded, Diller performed one last act of heroism.
The gun hit the ground, and as the perpetrator was still reaching for it, this cop was able to grab it, although he was still shot.
Now, Lindy Jones, 41, is described as a career criminal. He was the driver in this particular scenario, and he actually made the case to the police and at trial that he actually just picked up this other guy, never heard of him in his entire life, and the fact that they were prepared and appeared to be casing a joint, no, that's just nothing at all whatsoever. Don't worry about it. He's just a good guy, a kind-hearted angel that was picking up a hitchhiker. Now, I've seen a lot of people say that Guy Rivera, the perpetrator of the killing in this particular incident, he was just mentally disturbed. In fact, I've seen this reported across the internet that he was just a victim of society, and I need to make this 100% clear. He's not a victim of society, and more importantly, I don't give a damn that people are saying that he's a victim of society, because he was conscious enough to partner up with another career criminal, conscious enough to bring a weapon, conscious enough in order to case out a T-Mobile joint for over 10 minutes before deciding that they were going to eventually enter and commit an armed robbery. But somehow, people are going to try to make the case that he was just, oh, he had all these problems, mental illness, oh my god, can we get his mother out here? Can somebody drag out his baby photos so you could see what he looked like when he was 6 years old, so you can feel bad for the criminal? I'm not interested in that nonsense. He murdered a police officer, and more importantly, he 100% knew he was going to commit a crime that day, and he was ready to commit a crime that day, because, crazily enough, this guy actually had a shiv in his rectum, which is what they discovered when they took him to the hospital after a police officer returned fire and hit him. So when they asked him about this, he was ready to defend himself in case he ended up in jail. So this guy knew what he was doing. He knew he was committing a crime, but because we're in New York State, somebody with 21 career arrests, assaults, and all that in their background, you know what? We can't do anything about that. A judge looks at his cases, he's like, you know, this guy's probably pretty dangerous. If only there was some kind of term for a person, maybe if they wear robes, that have the power of judgment, I might try to hold this person pre-trial. But you know what? It's New York State, so let me release him same day automatically, maybe set a petty bail that he has to, by law, be able to pay, because we wouldn't want to hold this guy in prison, because if we held him in prison, then I wouldn't have been able to see all of these cops mourning the loss of their brother in this beautiful display that I saw when I was driving back from Long Island. Now, unlike the last couple of criminals that we've covered on this channel, he was not on parole. He recently finished a 5-year prison stint over drugs. He also has many numerous assault charges to his name as well. Don't get confused about that. He's not just the victim of the drug war. He was released in 2021, and he actually completed his parole the very next year. So this guy, for all intents and purposes, had served his time in that regard. Neither him or the driver have a known gang affiliation. However, there is a gang active in the area that is called the Gang of Apes.
Police say he had a ghost gun and was remanded without bail. Now, this 41-year-old was arraigned around 2:30 this afternoon in Kew Gardens, where the DA's office went through his very lengthy criminal history in their request that he be remanded without bail. Earlier today, he was walked out of the 101 precinct in Far Rockaway, and Jones was already out on a $75,000 bond for weapons charges when he was arrested on Monday. Police say he was in the driver's seat of this Kia SUV when his passenger, Guy Rivera, shot and killed 31-year-old NYPD officer Jonathan Diller.
And as for the driver, Jones, the Post says he has 14 arrests in this particular article, but I've seen other more updated reporting that says he has 16 different arrests. And this guy actually is an even more serious criminal based on his history than the guy who actually pulled the trigger. So this is a dangerous tandem, to say the least. And by the way, if they can prove that they were going to case the joint, felony murder, put both of them away. And believe me, Jones is not somebody that you want on the street. And it is a damn shame that they released him last April based on his violent criminal history. So Jones had been arrested for robbery, assault, and an attempted murder charge in 2001, for which he was sentenced to a decade behind bars, according to authorities, records, and law enforcement sources. So both of these guys have served a significant amount of time. And he was, of course, most recently arrested last April when he was nabbed with a loaded illegal gun on the street, according to court records. Now, as I said in the video where I defended Anna Kasparian against the far left's insane attacks when she wanted people who dismembered the corpses of two murdered individuals held in jail, or at least a judge to be able to have the judgment to hold them in jail, it does not matter whether or not a crime is bail eligible in New York State, because bail reform has essentially removed the ability for them to use bail as a proxy for judgment, because again, New York State judges do not have judgment. So again, if we refer to the chart, it's not really this category, it's this category right here. And unfortunately, this convicted felon, somebody who was an attempted murderer, had a weapon, which you're not allowed to have. Good job, gun control, and preventing that from happening. He was arrested and he had a $75,000 bond, which may sound significant, but remember, they are required to put up multiple different various ways that you could pay for that, which includes a bail eligible amount. And again, they have to assess the ability to pay of the perpetrator that they're dealing with. So all the way back in April, they have this career criminal arrested on a weapons charge. They let him go. And guess what? He's in a car again with a weapon. He's armed again, ready to roll, ready to rob somebody. And maybe somebody at T-Mobile would have lost their lives if this guy, the trigger finger guy in the passenger seat that he was partnered with, acted in the same way that he acted when a cop pulled him over. And in fact, the way that this guy was released was on an insured bond, so he would have only had to put up around 10% of that bond, and it appears a collection of friends and family members are the ones who put up that money for him. On top of that, there was an additional request when it was revealed that they were eligible to make bond for ankle monitoring, so you could at least track where this person is. And of course, the judge said, you know, this guy, violent career criminal and all that, we're not going to waste an ankle monitor on him, so he was not wearing one at the time of the crime. Great news for everyone. Now, by the way, that case to which the family members and friends and whatnot put up the bond for him, the insured bond, they actually had a court date for that. The court date for that is very fittingly April 1st of this year, April Fool's Day, which makes sense because New York State is governed by complete and utter fools. And to be clear, the reason why it's so significant that this convicted attempted murderer had a firearm on him is because the conviction for attempted murder is related to him shooting at somebody three times, hitting him twice, collapsing his lung in order to rob his chain, which I'm sure was in order to feed his starving family. I'm sure anybody that he potentially would have shot in T-Mobile would have also been for his starving family, and also the passenger, very mentally disturbed. That's why he was preparing himself to be arrested and to be sent to jail with a shiv up his rectum. Now, if you guys watch my lengthy video that goes over New York State bail reform, one of the things that you will know is that we actually have new numbers from John Jay College of Criminal Justice and from the DCJ. By the way, the DCJ is an advocate for bail reform that state clearly and obviously that felons, people with violent histories, are repeat offending at higher rates because they're being released due to bail reform. Now, they try to obfuscate that by telling you that low-level offenders who weren't really a problem to begin with in the first place actually have decreased recidivism, but a criminal justice system that's sensible would target the violent repeat offenders and stop releasing them over and over and over again. But the thing is, that's what we do in New York State. That's what we do in the five boroughs of New York City, and that's what we do across the state because we have this stupid law. We have this stupid albatross around our necks that prevents us from doing things. And because of that, these officers are dead. Because of that, these criminals right here were emboldened to case a place in order to rob it. And when the cops pulled up on them, one of them decided that it was better to kill the officer rather than surrender. And the crazy thing is, had he surrendered with the weapons charge, with the criminal history that they both share, they probably would be on the streets again today, but for the fact that they killed someone, they finally took it to that level. Now, all of a sudden, the court system's like, okay, maybe we can hold somebody. 22 chances for Mr. Rivera. Okay, that's a little bit too much. He got his 21 strikes. Now we're going to hold him. And as for Jones, you know, 16 strikes. I mean, we're going to have to stop you at 17, but maybe, just maybe, we'll downgrade the charges later when nobody's looking, and you could be free too. Well, I mean, all you did in your history is, you know, try to murder somebody for a gold chain and commit other various violent crimes, partner with this guy, case a place to commit an armed robbery. You're probably just a starving innocent angel Aladdin. Look, I obviously feel terrible for the Diller family. The parents lost their son. His wife lost a husband. His son, 1 year old, likely will never remember his father, who he lost as well. And it's an absolute tragedy. But the thing is, there's terrible things that happen across this country, nation of 300 million people, all the time. What we should focus in on, in my opinion, and what I try to do with this channel, are the ones that we can prevent. We have these repeat offenders. This guy had a gun charge. They worked as a tandem. You could take 50% of this duo off the street, and maybe, just maybe, this man would be home with his son today. But on the other hand, we might be viewed as a little bit too harsh on the criminals if we considered that. But you know what? Those are just my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below. As usual, if you like the video, show them by leaving a like. Subscribe for more content. Follow me on the social media. Support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about yet another preventable death, this time of a police officer. Till next time.